The passage that we're looking at today is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 39 and 40. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 39 and 40. We're looking at the question of the remarriage of a widow. And what we want to do is to read this passage first of all. We want to analyze it in detail. And then we want to use the rest of the Bible to shed light on this passage so that we can gain a better understanding of what Paul says and what he does not teach in this passage. So let's begin by reading 1 Corinthians 7, verses 39 and 40. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Notice in verse 39 that Paul says that the wife is bound. This means that God joined her to her husband. And so the Bible does speak of the binding of the man and the woman in marriage. They are in the marriage bond. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, the Bible talks about God joining the two together. The Bible says in verse 39 that the wife is bound by the law. What law? Well, he's not talking specifically about the law of the land or the law of the state, although that is involved because the Bible says that we are to submit to and obey the laws of the land. So if the law of the land says that you have to get a marriage license, that you have to go through and meet certain procedures, then we're to obey. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 13, that we are to submit ourselves to these ordinances of man. But this law that he's talking about here is specifically the law of God. The wife is bound by the law, that is the law of Almighty God stated in the Bible. A marriage is not just a contract on a civil level. It's not just an agreement that is ratified by our government. Marriage takes place in the sight of God, and God joins the two together. He binds the two together, and he expects for those two to live together. And he says that this binding is as long as her husband lives. So as long as the husband and the wife are alive, they are bound together. But what about Matthew chapter 19, verse 9? There Jesus gives the scriptural ground for divorce, and that is for the cause of fornication. And if that be the case, then that man has the right to remarry, and he is no longer, after that scriptural divorce, married to his first mate. Well, Paul understood that. Paul recognized that exception to the rule, so to speak. But it's not his purpose to go into that here. He's not talking about divorce and remarriage. He's talking about different aspects of marriage and divorce and also death and remarriage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So to illustrate this, think of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. There Peter says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Now what that means is that we're to obey the laws of the land. And he says to submit to every ordinance of man. But there's a qualification to that. And Peter himself knew that because it was Peter himself who said in Acts 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. Peter realized when he wrote 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, and said that we're to obey the laws of the land, he realized, he understood that there are cases where the law of man contradicts the law of God, and in those cases, we're to follow the law of God, not the law of man. So why didn't Peter mention that qualification or that exception, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13? Because it was not his reason to go into these qualifications. He was stating the general rule. And that's what Paul is doing here and in other passages. The Bible says that the two are otherwise then married for life. And he shows that that marriage bond ends when one of the people in that marriage dies. In Romans chapter 7, Paul says in verse 1, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband," now this is Romans 7, verse 2, "the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." So Paul is showing in Romans 7, and also here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, that there is nothing wrong about a widow remarrying. As long as she remarries scripturally, there's nothing sinful about it. She has that right to remarry. Notice what he says again in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39. "If her husband is dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. She is free. She has that scriptural right to marry whom she will." So there's nothing sinful. There's nothing wrong about a widow remarrying. And I say that because some people who are on the outside of that situation, sometimes family and friends, can be overly opinionated about this. And there's room for caution. There's room for good advice. But to make a law and say that it would be a sin for a widow to remarry, even if the person that she's remarrying is scripturally eligible, and there's nothing wrong in the sight of God for them to marry, well, it's an opinion that people make sometimes, and that opinion is harder than the law of God. These people that make that kind of opinion then are guilty of binding and making laws where God did not bind and where God did not make a law. Now, let's talk for a few minutes about the expression "only in the Lord." What does this mean? Well, in this context, it means that she is to be married to whom she will only in the Lord, and that means in keeping with the will of the Lord, in harmony with the gospel of the Lord, in accordance with the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, I believe that we have an example of how this expression is used. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." What does "in the Lord" mean? Does that mean that children are only to obey their parents if their parents are Christians, if their parents are in the Lord and are Christians, members of the church? No, that's not the idea in Ephesians 6, verse 1, in the expression "in the Lord." Because children are to obey their parents whether their parents are Christians or not. You see, the home was around a long time before they were Christians, and marriage was on the earth for a long time before the church existed. So "in the Lord" in Ephesians 6, verse 1 means that children are to obey their parents as long as what their parents tell them is in keeping with or in harmony with, consistent with, the will of the Lord. So what does it mean to marry only in the Lord? He's talking about this widow, and he says that a woman is married to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she's free to remarry. But Paul says, only in the Lord. What does it mean to marry then in the Lord? Well, it means that if she's going to remarry, then she is either to marry a man who's never been married before, that is, a single man, or marry a man whose wife has died, which means that that man is scripturally eligible, he has the biblical right to remarry as well, or that the man that she is going to remarry is a man who has divorced or put away his first wife because she committed fornication. So as long as she remarries in keeping with that teaching of the Bible, then she's marrying in the Lord. Now, if she marries somebody that is divorced for an unscriptural reason, then she's marrying outside of the Lord and against the will of the Lord. Now, a question that oftentimes arises is, why can't this mean that she is to marry only a Christian man? Well, first of all, we've already seen that it is not a sin to be married to a non-Christian. Remember, he's already covered that in this book, in this chapter. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 12 and 13, he talks about a Christian being married to a non-Christian, and he says that you're to stay with that person. Well, that means that it is a legitimate, a scriptural marriage. Now, somebody might object and say, but that's different. They were married before they became Christians. And my response would be this. How do you know that? How do you know that all of these people were married to non-Christians before they themselves became Christians? How would you prove that? But here's something that's even more critical. And that is, the question is the marriage of a Christian to a non-Christian a legitimate marriage? Paul says, yes, it is. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 12 and 13. And Peter shows the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Here's another point to consider along this line. If the relationship between a Christian and a non-Christian in marriage is right, then that means that it is scriptural in God's sight. It is a legitimate marriage. They are just as married as a Christian being married to a Christian. Here's the point I want you to consider. If it is right for them to stay in that relationship, then it is right to get into that relationship. In other words, if it is scripturally right to be married to a non-Christian, then it is scripturally right to marry a non-Christian. On the other hand, if you say that it is a sin to marry a non-Christian, then it would be a sin to stay married to that non-Christian. And that presents a tremendous problem. If it is a sin to marry a non-Christian, then the question is, what about somebody who has already done that as a Christian? What about those Christian people who are married to non-Christians? What are they to do to repent if that is a sin? And the only consistent answer would be to say that they are required by God to get out of that marriage, to divorce. And yet, I have never read from the first person who says that it is a sin to marry a non-Christian who would say that a Christian who is in that kind of situation must divorce that person. And so most people who hold to the view that a widow who marries a non-Christian has sinned are inconsistent in how they apply this teaching. Another problem is that God's marriage law is for all people. And that would mean that verse 39 applies to a non-Christian widow just the same as it does to a Christian widow. And that wouldn't make any sense at all in the context here as well. So there are all kinds of problems when people assume that only in the Lord means marrying only a Christian. Now, a similar question is about 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, where Paul talks about being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That is not a verse about marriage. That is a passage about participating in things that are wrong, things that are sinful. So again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul shows that there are some marriages that are not exactly ideal because one is a Christian and one is not. But that's a far cry from saying that that marriage is a sinful marriage, and we cannot consistently say that. Paul says, but she, that is the widow, in verse 40, is happier if she so abide after my judgment, that is, to remain single because of this present distress. And he says, I think also that I have the Spirit of God. That is said with a bit of irony or a bit of godly sarcasm, because we need to remember that these Corinthians were quite arrogant, and he's going to talk more about that as we go into 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, in the next lesson.